So it's good to be before you and talk again. It's hard to believe it's been a year, but it's been a year. On March 24th, an Airbus, an A320-200, took off from Barcelona, Spain, en route to Dusseldorf, Germany. The craft was co-piloted by a young man named Andreas Lubitz. Lubitz, unfortunately, was mentally unstable, and on that tragic day, he waited for the pilot to leave the front of the airplane, and he locked himself in the cockpit. He pointed the aircraft downward toward the Swiss Alps, and he guided the plane to its destruction, a destruction that brought to the end the lives of 150 people. The co-pilot kept all on the entire airplane captive until their demise. He intended to kill them all. Now consider the analogy between this and history. 6,000 years ago, an aircraft left the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden creational airport. On board was mankind. The pilot was Jesus Christ. And the plane was headed toward the kingdom of God, the eternal airport. But another pilot named Lucifer, who had become mentally unstable and changed into the adversary, convinced the passengers that he was the better pilot. So Christ was locked out of the cockpit, and Satan began to direct the flight of the plane. And little by little, over the course of 6,000 years, he has been taking captive mankind on a collision course of destruction. But you know, before that plane crashes, the original pilot, having been qualified, will relieve the current pilot of his duty and resume flight. The new pilot will land mankind safely at the airport based in the universal city of Jerusalem. The title of my message today is Mankind's New Pilot. You know, Mr. Armstrong drilled into us the meaning of the two trees. Always talking about the two trees, the two ways of life. One way following the deceit of Satan, and the other way, the way of life. I want to today extend that analogy to two aircraft. One piloted by Satan the slanderer, and the other piloted by Jesus Christ the Savior. Two aircrafts, the church and the world. Our pilot, Jesus Christ, is currently flying his church into the kingdom of God, but mankind as a whole is held captive by Satan, the pilot, in a craft that is called the world, and it is destined to crash on its present course. Let's see how mankind's flight will be corrected by Christ during the millennium. Now, to understand how an aircraft not only stays in the air, but reaches the destination it is intended to, we have to understand the degrees of freedom that must precisely be controlled on an aircraft. Now, today we'll consider our pilot. First, we'll consider our pilot who controls our aircraft, and the pilot who's controlling the world's aircraft. And then we'll consider the forces at work on the aircraft and the so-called transitional degrees of freedom. And we'll discuss the rotational degrees of freedom that must be controlled during that flight. At the present time, there are two aircraft that we can be riding on, the church and the world. You can't ride on both at the same time. You see, both aircraft have people as passengers, but they differ by who is at the helm. The pilot of the Church is well-seasoned, well-trained, and highly experienced. And we can see that if we turn to Hebrews 2, verses 9 through 10. Hebrews 2, 9 through 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Our captain has been trained, and he is perfect. Now that word captain, if you look it up, it means chief leader. Now most pilots in the air transportation business are referred to as captain. And you can tell them by their uniform, by their hat, and what they say, and their word is law on that plane. The chief leader, the pilot of the plane, is arguably the most important person on that plane. The word captain also carries the connotation of one who blazes the way. What about the pilot in the other aircraft? This pilot is no longer qualified because he is rebellious and mentally unstable. A new pilot has qualified to replace Satan. This occurred when Jesus overcame Satan's temptation in Mark 4, 1 through 11. I'm going to let Mr. Armstrong summarize that passage. And this is a quote from a world held captive. Now, world held captive kind of gave me the idea for this message, because I thought about those people on the plane that crashed. They were captive. They couldn't get out until that plane crashed. Okay, this is what Mr. Armstrong says about held captive. Then at about age 30, before he could preach a word of God's message, the gospel, Satan attacked him head on, and his temptation, this is Mark 4, 1 through 11, Jesus made his choice. He rejected Satan's temptation and way of life. He chose God's way according to the scriptures. He defeated Satan, commanding him to depart from him, and he defeated Satan. The defeated Satan slunk away. Jesus had qualified to replace Satan on the throne of the earth. Thus, as Jesus said in Mark 1:15, the time has fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Second Adam has passed the test. He had overthrown Satan. He had qualified to replace Satan on earth's throne and to restore the kingdom of God. Sin and rebellion had started with one man, Adam. Righteousness and obedience leading to peace now started with one man, Jesus Christ. He was the beginning, the foundation of the altogether new building, the new world, the new civilization, the world tomorrow. That's what Mr. Armstrong said about Christ becoming qualified. But you know, the old captain isn't quite ready to give up his seat yet. And we can read that in Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. The union's going to throw him out. Let's turn to Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22, something we're all familiar with. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, except that flight be canceled, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Because we in the aircraft of the church, we have given the world hope. And God will prevent the crash because of us. Satan is still at the helm of this world. Satan the pilot has determined to crash the world and destroy mankind. He knows his fate and has determined to destroy everyone on that aircraft. Although he still has the world on a crash course, in due time, Satan the pilot will be relieved of duty, literally yanked out of the captain's seat. And the qualified pilot will take the helm. Christ will cut short the crash landing so mankind does not destroy itself. And mankind's flight will be corrected during the millennium for a safe landing. Now, if you study flight, you'll find out that there are 6 degrees of freedom that are available to an aircraft, 6 ways an aircraft can move. If you apply this analogy to man, God has given man 6 ways of freedom. And I thought that was kind of interesting, 6 degrees of freedom and 6 being the number of man. So that aircraft can move in 6 different ways. But before I begin, are there any pilots in here? Anybody flown a plane? Okay, I don't have to apologize then. Because I don't think I have any technical errors in here, but if I do, I apologize. I learned a lot about flight by flying a flight simulator. That being said, you probably wouldn't want me to be your pilot on your plane. But nonetheless, it does teach you a lot about flying. But think about this. Man only learned to fly barely over 100 years ago. If you think about the timeline of 6,000 years, he's only accomplished the ability to fly in the last few minutes of his existence. Is God trying to teach him a lesson here? I don't know. We'll see. Now we'll talk about the forces of action on an aircraft, the forces that act on an aircraft. We'll talk about first the 3 degrees of translational freedom. These control where the plane is in relation to the ground. Now, to help illustrate this, I have an airplane here. All right. And for those of you in electronics land, what I have here is about a foot model of a 747 jetliner. And it's an American Airlines. I apologize to the UK people. Mr. Bowles, Mr. Henderson, Mr. Monroe. I couldn't find British Airways. I'm sorry. You'll just have to live with the colonials. But this will help show you the degrees of freedom that are available on an airplane. Can everybody see this? Okay. I'll try to hold it up high. Okay, the transitional degrees of freedom. First of all, you can go forwards and backwards. Okay, you can go up and down, and you can go left and right. Those are transitional degrees of freedom. Now, there are forces that act on these degrees of freedom. The first force you have is weight, what you're carrying, the weight of the plane, what's in the plane. And what counteracts that is the lift that the air causes on the wings. So those two balance each other and make the plane, if the lift is greater than the weight, the plane is going to take off and fly. Now, you think about that, and if this is being the church, we think about the weight that is on the church, the weight on all of us. It's a great analogy because what happens is we have cares, we have trials, we have problems that weigh us down. And it makes it hard for this plane to fly because, I mean, even at this feast, how many problems have we had amongst ourselves causing the plane to try to pull down? Let's look at that in Mark 4:9. Mark 4:19. 4:19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Okay, if you turn to Hebrews 12 and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author, and that's the same word that means captain, and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts and drown men into destruction and perdition. Now that word to sink, drown means to sink. It actually means to sink. If you put these verses together with Mark, these verses in Mark with 1 Timothy, if you put them together, you see that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. You know, when you choke an engine, you cut off the air supply to that engine. It starts running slow. It loses power. And that's what happens. We can choke the engine of the aircraft if we're not careful. Now, Satan's aircraft is all about deceit. It's about lust and false riches, and its engine is choking, and it's causing the world to fall. However, the weight of this world is counteracted by lift. The lift is provided by the Holy Spirit. The aircraft will only rise if the lift is greater than the weight. We only grow when the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome our cares, our problems, our trials. Now let's talk about the second pair of forces that act on an airplane. They're called thrust and drag. Now thrust tends to move the aircraft forward. Thrust is created by these engines or by a propeller. Drag tends to drag the plane backwards. And the only time that the plane will go forwards, and when you have more thrust than drag, it will go forward. You think about that, and that it is a marvelous analogy, because our nature drags us, tends to drag, and it fights against the Word of God. Our nature fights against God's mind. It's a drag. But God's Word gives us thrust to overcome our nature and make us move forward toward our destination. Now, Paul knew all about the forces of thrust and drag, and we can see that in Romans. Romans 7, 18 through 25. Here Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law which when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." There's your thrust and there's your drag. Paul knew that his human nature was always trying to drag him away from moving forward. He knew that human nature's forces are real. But Christ, the Word of God, can overcome those human nature drags. Now, let's talk about the remaining degrees of freedom. There are three so-called rotational degrees of freedom. These are called pitch, roll, and yaw. And they describe the craft's rotation around its center of gravity. Now, if you look at this plane, the center of gravity is probably right in the middle of the fuselage. Okay, now the first degree of freedom we'll look at is called pitch. Now, the pitch axis goes through the center of gravity, through the wings, perpendicular to the fuselage. And it controls the plane rotating around that center of gravity. And it's interesting to know that the angle that this plane makes with the horizontal is called attitude. It's called the pitch attitude. You see where I'm going in this? Pitch controls the amount of air hitting the surface of the wings. Now, an important point about the pitch of an aircraft is that a positive pitch is going to make you go up. And a negative pitch is going to make you go down. Positive attitude, negative attitude. But there's something about a positive attitude, there's a caveat there that all pilots have to be aware of. If your pitch is way too high, you start stalling and you fall. Now, I want you to keep that in mind when we read Proverbs 16, 18. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Turn to Hezekiah 3:4. Just want to see if you were awake. Sorry. I always wanted to do that. Hosea 5:5. Mr. Pippi made me do that. Hosea 5:5. And the pride of Israel does testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity, and Judah also shall fall with them. The pride of Israel does testify, and it will cause a fall. Satan has mankind's nose way up in the air at this point. Modern man has developed the haughtiness and arrogance that is unparalleled in history. He's decided that God, there's no need for God, there's no need for his knowledge. And in his pride, he has perverted every one of God's commandments. Think about it. Every commandment has been perverted, all 10 of them. Turn to 2 Timothy 3. We'll read verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And I read this, think about this airplane. This, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures and more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So what do we have today? We have gay pride. That just kills me. They're proud of it. And abortion. We have abortion as a business. Let's sell body parts of innocent children. And the perversion of marriage. And Jacob, God's own people, who should be setting the example of righteousness, is the leader in sin, even embarrassing the heathen nations. And Jacob is proud of it. Do you see a stall coming? Do you see the plane falling from the sky? Is it any wonder Satan's plane is falling? Sodom and Gomorrah would blush with our if they knew about our sins. It would make them embarrassed. But let's look what happened if you adjust your pitch and rein in that haughty, prideful attitude. And that's found in James 4:10. James 4:10. Very short scripture, but apropos. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You adjust your pitch to the right angle, and guess what? you're going to rise. An aircraft's nose that is too high means it cannot, the air cannot flow around it properly, so it just drops from the sky. Likewise, if our nose is too high in the air, if we're proud, the Holy Spirit cannot work with us either. It's hard for it to work with us. But if we bring our nose down in humility, the Holy Spirit can begin to flow around, flow through us again, and will keep us from falling. In the kingdom of God, man's pride will be humbled so that God will be able to work with him. Let's turn to Job 22, verses 29. Job 22, 29. When men are cast down, they shall say, there is lifting up, lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. Now let's talk about the next degree of freedom called roll. And I'll demonstrate that on here. If you imagine an axis running through the fuselage here, roll is a degree of freedom that makes the plane circulate or rotate around that axis. Okay. The problem is, if you're in a plane, if you played a flight simulator, you would see this. If you're in a plane and you start to roll, all of a sudden your horizon starts doing this. And it gives you a distorted view of your world when you're flying sideways. But the problem is, if you continue to roll, you're upside down, and what is up is down, and what is left is right. Look at man right now. You think he's flying upside down? Case in point, gay marriage. Just a few years ago, maybe even months ago, there was no question about what marriage was, and now there is. Nobody knows what it is. It's amazing. When a plane is in a roll, your entire perception of the world is upside down. It's distorted. And it's the same way with man. His perception of morality is distorted because the roll is too much. And the final degree of freedom we'll talk about is yaw. This degree of freedom, I'll demonstrate. You can imagine a axis going through the center of the plane here, through the center of gravity. Yaw is this type of rotation, left and right. Now, before I go on, for the sake of those of us of Canadian persuasion, and I don't want to name names, but his initials are Mr. Pippi. Yaw is spelled Y-A-W, not y'all. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. No misunderstanding. Now, the angle made by the fuselage when it turns around, if you consider the forward-going motion this way, the angle that's made as the plane turns and yaws is called, of all things, heading. A pilot has to know at all times his heading, otherwise he's not going to get there. When you're flying a plane a long distance, just a few fractions of a degree will make you miss your destination completely. In the kingdom of God, Christ the pilot will correct the heading of mankind. He will point mankind in the correct direction. Now let's read Isaiah 30:21. We've already read it twice, I believe. We'll read it three times now. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And then, and thine ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, this is the heading, fly ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, Christ will correct those in the kingdom, their heading will be corrected. Now consider this. Before we do that, let's turn to Hosea 14:9. Hosea 14:9. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and just. The just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. So consider this, that while Christ is the pilot of the church in our journey into the kingdom, we are also co-pilots, if you think about it. At the same time, we are passengers in one plane called the church, but we all also pilot our own plane, maybe a two-seat Cessna, with Christ as our co-pilot. And that plane, each one of those planes has 6 degrees of freedom and they go any which way they want. But just like Mr. Jackson said, they're all out there, but they're all going to the same place. Might take a different heading. Might have a little pitch, a little yaw, but they get there. Because Christ is putting us through flight school right now. He's teaching us to be co-pilots for mankind in the future. He's going to teach us how to correct attitude, how to remain humble. He teaches us how to stop rolling. He teaches us how to stop losing our perspective by too much roll. And he corrects us on our heading so that we maintain the right direction and righteousness. And this is the way we will be co-pilots in the kingdom of God, and we will be teaching others how to fly straight. Now, what about mankind's current course? What's the flight plan? If you ever played flight simulator, if you ever played with a flight simulator, you will know that the three rotational degrees of freedom actually control where the plane goes. And they have to be delicately controlled and balanced. If they're out of balance, the plane goes in the wrong direction or just stops flying altogether. But if you get a chance to play a flight simulator, what you can do is give the plane a little yaw, a little roll, negative attitude, and it goes into a tailspin. And that's where we are today. Satan has this world in a tailspin, and there's no stopping it, except for the new pilot stopping it. So indeed, the world is held captive and a crash course. Let's read another quote from World Held Captive, the booklet from Mr. Armstrong. This is what he says. Jesus, ooh, what is this? Watch him fly. Little too much yaw. Okay. Jesus, in referring to the present evil world, said it is built on a foundation of sand and of Satan's way of vanity, covetousness, envy, and jealousy, competition and strife, violence, rebellion, contention, unhappiness, suffering, and death. This world is doomed to crash, and great shall be the fall thereof. This world, this civilization, its foundation is faulty. That of Satan, its superstructure, its systems of government and legal systems, of law and justice, its systems of faulty and materialistic education, its religion, its social systems, its customs, all superstructures, faulty, producing discontent, unhappiness, contention, competition, and strife, leading to violence and destruction, anguish, suffering, poverty, and death. The world is in a tailspin, and the ground is getting awful close right now. Is it any wonder that man is doomed unless somebody takes control of that aircraft? But wait, a new pilot will take control. He's going to enter the captain's seat, and he's going to correct mankind's attitude through humility. This pilot will correct mankind's role by infusing correct knowledge, so he has the ability to see what is right and what is wrong. And this pilot will point mankind to the right heading toward everlasting life, the final destination. And this pilot will have an army of co-pilots. You and me, if we pass flight school, to assist him in getting mankind safely to the destination. You know, and one last thing I want to bring up. Every pilot must have a flight plan. They have to file a flight plan before they take off. It describes the destination and the path the pilot will take to get there. Our great God has given man a flight plan right here. And it describes the destination and how to get there, the Word of God. So in conclusion, we see that an aircraft is free to move in six ways. In order for it to fly and safely reach its destination, these degrees of freedom must be precisely controlled. And these forces on the aircraft must be balanced in such a way that the aircraft will stay in the air. Christ is already at the helm of the church and will fly her to safety, the wings of eagle. It's just interesting that this is an American Airlines and its symbol is two wings of an eagle crossed. And when it is time, the old pilot, Satan, will be relieved from man's aircraft, and Christ will take the helm. Man's life will be straightened out. It will go in the right direction until he flies to the correct destination. And man will be provided the lift of the Holy Spirit, the living waters we discussed, Mr. Monroe discussed. And to ensure mankind's success, he will be guided by a living flight plan. So I see that we're approaching New Jerusalem Universal Airport. Fasten your seatbelts, please. There may be a little turbulence before we land. But don't worry about the belongings around you. You won't need them. And watch your step as you disembark. Thank you for flying Kingdom Airways, and have a nice eternity.